Hello and welcome to the Plumped Serpent podcast with me, Isabel, and my wonderful weekly guests. The Plumped Serpent is here to support well-being and nature connectedness. When you're new here, welcome. And if you're returning, then hello. I really appreciate you having here. In this episode, I speak with Amber Kasturi-O'Hara. Amber has a background in psychology and applied ethics and has worked in various clinics in Zurich and Spain. She has experienced many years of learning and working with different healers in Mexico, Colombia, and Peru. Amber works now as a coach, healer, and transformer. Her trainings based on navigating feelings, instincts, intuitions, and developing the energetic body. She holds transformational spaces for people standing in their natural power. Let's dive into this insightful conversation. Welcome to the show and very welcome, Amber.
Thank you, Isabel, for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to talk with you because since I know you, you're one of these persons that just sparkles, that just ignites even more my curiosity towards life, towards exploring myself and towards our existence here on Earth. And recently I could join an offer called Being Shaped by Gaia that you are hosting online. And please tell our audience, what is Being Shaped by Gaia?
I feel very touched when you say that, Isabel, and I could cry now, because what is being shaped by Gaia? Being shaped by Gaia is basically just becoming normal again. And being shaped by Gaia is a training for people to connect with nature in a form out of their being. And this sounds in a way, it sounds very, very easy, and it is very easy as soon as we can let go of the mind's concept. And once people start to feel this deep connection with Gaia, with the, let's say, with the organism Earth, with the living collaboration nature really represents, once we can open up to this, we are just in a different space. We are in a different space of receiving eternal evolution. And this is just a really nice place to be. And it is a really nice place to work on projects, because out of this space we collaborate with nature. And this is why I just love when I see people connecting to nature, and it just brings out the best of them. So it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure when I see somebody being so full of ecstasy because they have connected. They are connected. So they're home again. And it's, I don't know, I don't think if I know any bigger ecstasy. It's amazing seeing people shining out of the connection. And it's so healing, and it's so beautiful, and it's just really a lot of fun. I mean, it's really, I think, you know, when I see people connecting, sometimes I have the feeling that the whole universe is celebrating, because it's really, I don't know, the birds start to sing. When we connect to nature, the birds start to sing. So I think it's a good thing to go there.
It's indeed an amazing experience, as you described. And as you said, coming home, it's really this deep inner knowing of arriving fully where we are. And as you said, we are on planet Earth, we are here. And for me, it was amazing because I often thought about all the esoteric concepts that emphasize going out and connecting to space and going to another realm. And this is an interesting way of being and communicating with other dimensions, but we are human beings with a body. We are deeply connected to Earth. And for me, this was really an eye-opener and to embody this connection and not only to just think of it. And I think this is crucial, to really feel it, embody it.
Yes.
And also to feel it, to touch beings, to perceive them, to hear them, to smell them. What is the role of the senses and of the perception in your understanding towards this deeper connection to Gaia and also to ourselves in the same way?
You mean, what is the, how do I use the senses?
Yes, the kind of gateway to connect, because in my experience and from talks with other people, a lot of people have kind of difficulty to connect to the living world. They always had a certain concept, as you mentioned when you were started. They have a certain concept in mind how to do it. And maybe you offer possibilities, simple ways, actually, how to connect to Gaia, to connect to Earth.
Yes. I don't know if I really answer your question, but I just start and then we see how far we get. I mean, the senses are divine, you know. I mean, smelling a flower, when I go walking, I smell like on every bush, because the senses, they make me ecstatic, you know. The smells of flowers and of flowering bushes, it just goes up into my head and it makes me like drunk, and it's the smells are amazing. The beauty is, I mean, just looking at, well, basically anything in nature, the beauty is, I mean, it's mind-blowing, the forms that nature creates and the shapes and these amazing colors. I mean, I'm getting chilled just by saying that.
Me too.
You know? I mean, I look at a salamander or at a lizard or a bee. It's such an amazing piece of art. It blows my mind almost every day, you know. I look how ants move. And I mean, they find everything. They find ways back. I have no clue how they get the orientation, you know, but it works. So the senses, I mean, also taste, you know, when you taste like a mango, mamma mia. I mean, a mango, I don't know, it must be an invention from God directly, you know.
Yes.
It's so, I mean, the variety of sensuality in nature is it's there's no limit. And for me, there is a different, let's say there is a different level of connection with nature. And for me, it has to do a lot with the energetic body. And the energetic body is for me not a specific sense, but it's really like the body in and around me that is perceiving other beings in their energeticness. And we all are energetic beings. And information many times passes even beyond senses. So the energetic body is a very important part of really connecting also to other people. No, we can connect to other people without even having exchanged a word, without even smelling each other. It's something in the energetic body that is really very strong, and it's very crucial for connection. Because why? Because the allowing connection in with anything, basically with humans, with a tree, with a dog, you know, that dogs are ecstatic just when they connect with you. So allowing connection is an ecstatic experience, and the energetic body in a way, we need a certain energetic fitness to allow this intensity in order not having to block it. So that's, I would say, the senses, yes, very important. I mean, touch, very important, and the energetic body, very important also, as a gateway. I mean, the physical body is as important also for all that, and the emotions are as important. Emotions, being in touch with emotions and feeling them consciously and not running away when they are getting too intense, because it's getting dangerous, it's getting too intimate. So it's a navigation of, in fact, it's a navigation of through intensity, navigating intensity and allowing it to transform. Because when I allow intensity, it transforms me always. Intensity doesn't, I'm not the same afterwards anymore.
Yes, and you are a person who is very used to work with the different layers of the being. As you said, it's not only the body, it's not only what we can perceive with our senses, but it's also the energetic realm. For people who are not so used to that perception also of themselves and other beings, they need to train that, as you mentioned. And for me, it's always an interesting gateway going through the bodily being, because that is something people are very aware of. And when they are really in touch with the bodily being, they can also go a step further and get in connect with their energetic being. Because I perceived like the earth is normally very stable, unless it is shaking, but normally it is very stable. And when you perceive your bodily being as stable as the earth, you can go into more subtle realms, and energetic realms are kind of very subtle also. They can be very direct sometimes, but yes, it's a kind of navigation through the different layers of being, as you mentioned, and also the emotions. And it is really interesting that you are one of these rare persons I meet who doesn't neglect feelings or emotions like anger or fear or all these so-called negative emotions. How do you perceive these emotions? And in your understanding, what is the treasure of these emotions? Because we are living now in times where these emotions are very heavily triggered and also kind of nourished and consciously programmed in a way. What is your... How do you deal with these kind of emotions, and what is the treasure, or what is the information hidden in them?
I'd like to share an experience here I had with anger. Maybe 10 years back, I was in a voice workshop with a gypsy woman, and we had to commit to being with a blindfold for 5 days and 5 nights, day and night, even for going to the bathroom or for eating or for showering. We had to be with the blindfold, and we were not allowed to talk. We just sang. And on one day we worked with the anger, and everything was dark and blindfold, so we didn't see even a little thing, and we started to work with anger. And it turned out that we worked with anger for 11 hours nonstop, and I was surprised that I was surprised that I could be angry for 12 hours almost. And my voice had gone already a long time, but sometimes these waves would come back, and the voice just came back in a powerful way that I was like, holy shit, where is this power coming from? You know, it doesn't stop. And at the end, we did a performance, but a voice performance. So one after the other went up and gave, just shared their anger. And I really had no voice anymore, but I got up and I was so angry at the universe having a form and not rather having no form. You know, it was so, and it was so intense that I cried of being so angry that I'm trapped in a form, that the whole universe somehow is trapped in a form. And at the same time, I felt the biggest love ever. So this is for me what anger is. Anger is that driving force of wanting to expand, wanting to go into life, wanting to... Anger has to do with, okay, I'm coming into life. And it's somehow a paradox, because we are in a body and the body allows us to be angry. And without the anger, somehow there is no way of dealing with that paradox of being in a limited body. And it turns out to be the biggest love. So, so this, it's a very intense emotion, anger, but anger is like this archetypal connection of being and knowing that there is a limit to everything. And, you know, it's like it brings me so much to the now. Allowing my anger is something that really, really connects me to the now. And it just shows me, okay, there is no time to waste. Maybe it's over tomorrow. You know, anger is that radical part saying now or never. There is nothing to do tomorrow. It's now or forget it. Maybe tomorrow something else is on the table. So that's one part of anger that really makes me present. And it's I'm talking about a conscious anger. I'm not talking about a destructive anger, banging things and throwing other things around. I'm talking about that anger of just really being here. And yeah, and then allowing this is again intensity, and allowing this again is a total training for the energetic body, because presence is at the energetic body, being totally here. So when I allow that presence, there is not a moment when I'm not concentrated, because that's what presence is, totally here. And allow and anger, that's why I really enjoy doing rage clubs, because people experience conscious anger and the healing power of it, the expansion, the activation, the presence. Yeah, and the same counts for fear. I mean, fear is an amazing emotion to work with, because it takes me to the next level. I don't know yet how to do it. That's where the fear is the gateway. And sadness shows me, okay, maybe it's time to let go. Maybe it's connection. Sadness is the indicator of how precious relationships are, of how, you know, you mentioned at the beginning, the being shaped by Gaia. I mean, I could have cried because it's over now. This training is over. It was such a beautiful space and it's just gone. You know, we can create a new one, but this exactly space is finish. Okay, that's it. It's very sad. So it's okay. It's good to be sad. But yeah.
Yes, this is really an interesting perspective you're offering here to people, to first acknowledge the feelings you have and really feel them, but not attach to them and not make stories out of them, but to perceive them as a gateway or as a tool to really work on yourself and to go deeper within yourself. And I think this is, in my understanding, this is really crucial, not to just push things away, but to embrace them in a certain way and to really to see them as possibilities to change things, or also dissolve things sometimes. And the Rage Club is another offer Amba is gifting to the world. And you'll receive the informations at the end of our talks where you can reach out to Amba, because I think you're offering a Rage Club soon. A Rage Club and also a club of fear and box and being, another very interesting title. You always have this kind
shadow.
Of very
the other one is the being and the shadow, the
yes.
shadow exploration.
Yes,
there is something else I'd like to mention, because you mentioned the necessity of change. And I mean, we know that we know that actually time is running out. You know, it's like, I mean, we have weather extremes, growing weather extremes, and somehow we don't even have the time anymore to talk about things. So like there is so many necessities, you know, we basically have to reinvent the whole world. We have to reinvent producing and buying and not buying and growing food and how we interact with each other, what we learn in school, the whole value system. I mean, that old paradigm of consumption and growth has just doesn't work anymore. So for me, the question is, where do we engage? Where do we really get active? And the mass, the sea of possibility is just too much, you know? So, but then when you start to use your conscious feelings, when you start to navigate with your physical and energetic wisdom, it brings you to naturally to where your gifts are. You know, somebody who is making music doesn't have to run an NGO. It's nonsense. So somebody who makes music, well, this is your gift to the world. Bring it to the world, right? But somebody who is really good at organizing, okay, maybe open up an NGO, you know? So becoming more sensitive to yourself allows you to see where the doors are for bringing yourself into the world with your gifts. And I feel it so strongly that when people bring their heart into play, into interaction, this is when healing is starting. And this is when people take wise actions because they are out of that obsession of having to feel something that is not given by their heart, but really bringing themselves into the world with what their potential is waiting for.
Yes, it's another way of being. It's like from being from within.
Yes.
Like a seed that is just dormant in the earth, and it knows exactly when to grow and when to crack the surface and when to come to the light and to receive growth. For me, in my understanding, it's really the same, like from within and spreading your being and your gifts to the world. And all your offers for me are so amazing because they just bring all these aspects together. And for me, when it's about creating a different world and be like be what you really are in the world, it's really like this aspect of this Gaia, of this connection to nature, this connection to earth. For me, it's really crucial. And I see your concept being shaped. No, it's not a concept. It's a way it's a transformative way being shaped by Gaia. Imagine that with a company. Well, how amazing would that be? Like when all the people who are working in a company come together and are being shaped by Gaia, what kind of different visions emerge and different values and different ways of doing things? How do you perceive that? Like really, you mentioned this, it's not all only about you, but it's also about projects. You can go with very specific projects to Gaia and being shaped there.
Absolutely. 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 Whenever somebody is willing to go crazy, to go out of control, you know, this is really, I was thinking about that this morning when I was walking in the woods. I was like, how many times in my life was I afraid of thinking, I'm gonna go mad. This is it. I'm crazy now. I cannot control this any longer. I've had so many moments of that, and it's really scary. It's scary walking out of old concepts because all of a sudden you enter the realm of creation. And this is madness. This is, no, it's not madness, it's chaos. And it feels like, yes, I've lost my mind. Great, but can I hold that? So, yeah, it's like, it's that dance of daring to go a step further and relaxing again and taking the next step and relaxing again till you get accustomed to a new field, let's say, or, you know. So whenever somebody feels ready to let go of control, yes, it feels like you're going to be a bit crazy, huh? And yeah, so it needs courage because this is exactly the challenge. And I mean, talking of a company, it probably would start with a few. And if they have a good experience, you know, it could grow with a bigger team. So it's always good to have a few people in the team who can help holding the space and who can also who have already the, let's say, the energetic fitness to allow other people's fears, because people can do that step of allowing their fear when the space is safe enough. So when they feel hold, then they can allow to go over their edge. When the space is not safe enough, they just don't go. So yeah, so working with a company would probably mean having a team of 5 or 10 people who can really collaborate and hold that space. So a bigger number of people can do this kind of work.
Yes, holding the space is really crucial, as you mentioned. But in my understanding, this is the task of a company founder or of a CEO, holding the space for others, right? And as you said, it's also about losing control and stepping off paths we already know, because as you said, I mean, we talk is over. What shall we? I mean, it's so obvious. But yeah, I, as you said, it for me, creating a different kind of world or different kind of acting and behaving and all that. For me, this is also this needs strength. This needs kind of power, energy to act from the point of view, because this image of a tree is always comes to my mind. When a tree is really deeply rooted, it can go deep down and get all the nutrients, and it can really grow big and reaches its arms and branches and touches the sky and this pillar of connection. But when it is rotten, it is rotten in the core and it has no strength. It just comes a little wind and it just blows away. So for me, this really coming back to a healthy living, to a healthy being. I mean, without that, you can't do anything. You are just like a weak plant that when a small wind comes, it just blows away, you know?
Yes, and may I add something to that? Because you just mentioned the healthy living.
Yes.
You know, the healthy living, I mean, many people still work on a, let's say, in an external company. And many people still work many, many hours a day and many, many days a week. And they are very busy. And, you know, it's like, This is a paradox that needs to be mentioned, because healthy living, I mean, it can be anything, healthy living.
Yes.
I just know that without being in nature regularly, I think I would be dead. I mean, you know, and I don't know how people can live in cities and work 8-9 hours a day and, you know, there's something about the energetic body when it gets more fit and more sensitive, that noises and behavior that are not favorable for the body or you know, stress and all these things, it doesn't go together. So training the energetic body will guide you ultimately to a decision if what kind of life do you want to have. Do you want to have a life where you are totally blocked in your time following something that you might even don't really want to do, or do you want to take a decision where your energetic body and your senses and your physical gets more attention, and it might guide you to a different way of life. So this is not to be underestimated, because this is a big decision. For many people, this is a very dangerous decision, because sometimes you just don't know, okay, if I reduce here, what am I going to do next? So maybe you have to reinvent your whole life. And I'm not saying this is easy. And it is possible. If you want to find ways, you can find ways. But what I really want to say is that when we are not so numb anymore, there's many things that fall away, that break away, because they are just not doing well. So yes, and this is definitely taking out you of the comfort zone. And I mean that in a very physical way, in a very practical sense of, okay, all of a sudden you realize, okay, that's not the way I can live anymore. And creates maybe some problems, some new problems, and some adventurous problems. Maybe it's the moment for making a total new design of how you want to go on for the next 30 years.
Yes, it's it's also the aspect of this. When you connect to nature, you are aware that actually you have no control except from what you do out of what you receive and what you perceive. That's in your control. But all what's around you is not in your control. And this is scary. This is scary for people. And another aspect of what you mentioned, it's also this not knowing what happens. I don't know what can happen. There are possibilities and possible outcomes, but I don't really know. And this is another way when people are getting more in touch with nature to also to just trust the process, deep trust in what comes to you. Because for me, it's absolutely, totally mind-blowing when I'm in nature and I see all this abundance. I mean, it's...
Earth
is constantly birthing and giving you information, giving you ways. You mentioned this creativity out there. It's mind-boggling. And why do people with their amazing abilities they have with their mind? I mean, our mind is an amazing tool, but why do we restrict ourselves to this incredible creative flow that we just need to tap into? And it's everything there.
Yes, and Isabel, I think that's just half. That's just half of the story.
Yes, please share the other half.
one part is really going with the process and going up on that adventure, and there is another part that, you know, when let's say I'm creating a new offer. I mean, I don't want to offer a bullshit training, you know? So when I'm creating a new offer, many times I'm scared because I don't want to betray people with some, I mean, I want to do good work. So this is like trusting the process is one, but maintaining the discipline of keep going and keep going, writing down notes again, keep going, writing down notes again, keep going, writing down notes. Sometimes it takes me weeks. Mm-hmm. It takes me weeks to really distill something that wants to come to life. And this is not, you know, when you just mentioned, just trust the process, it could be misunderstood that the, let's say, the hardworking part is not necessary. Mm-hmm. And I really want to mention that I mean really giving it the shape and mm-hmm. and making, let's say, a product out of it. Making it a workshop or a newsletter or a painting or whatever, you know. So I really want to mention that trusting the process, yes, and there is really, in German we say Knochenarbeit, mm-hmm. you know, this
really hard, let's say, work.
It's yes. that there's hard work involved yes. with it, and it's not bad. I mean, hard work is good because I have fun, but I feel like many times this is even physical a challenge to give birth to something new, and it's not done with a few hours walking in the woods.
Well, so, when you have something in mind, you'd like to have an answer to, or you'd like to shape, as you said, or you'd like to create. Yes.
Yeah.
And thank you for the second part. That's, I think that's when our mind comes into play. That's when we can reflect and go deeper and just observe and yeah, conceptualize in a certain way, because yeah, as you said, when we like to create an offer or bring a project to life, it needs some kind of structure and concept and words and yeah, all these things that are needed. And yes, that's really crucial. And it's also this, and when this happens, it's this harmonious interplay of this creative force, but also this kind of conceptualizing and bring it into a certain form.
Yeah.
like forming it and yeah, birthing it, so it gets concrete, it gets, yeah, really visible in tangible and also understandable in a certain way, and
yeah,
you can also communicate it. Yes, that's yes, really crucial. Yes,
yes. And this is actually, you know, because somehow we can co-shape the world by becoming independent from big companies. And this is really my hope, that a growing number of people manages it to shape their life in a way that they, you know, that they can live, you know, that they can buy food, that they have a house, that they can they pay their bills. So it's designing a way of living they can maintain themselves. Because if not, they ultimately will have to go back and work for somebody else. And this can be okay, but many times, you know, it's so future shaping for me is when people manage to give shape to their dreams in a way they can have a good life with what they do.
Yes.
And not yes, being independent in a way, or being in collaboration with others. So this is a very important aspect, because at the end, we all need to eat, we need house, we need, you know, so we all need money till there is no money anymore. But at the moment, we all need money. So it's like finding a new path in a landscape that has not been explored.
Yes. As you said, future shaping, something we don't yet know, but we have a kind of inner knowing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yes. You'd like to add
yes, I'd like to add
an insight or yeah, just,
well, I, you know,
comes
I
to, just your mind,
to add and encourage people who listen to this that many times it's try and error and start over again. So sometimes it needs a long breath, and sometimes it's like, you know, yeah. So what I really want people to encourage is get a supporting team, because without team who supports you, who can back up you when you are lost and when you are desperate and when you don't see any path anymore, it's really, really good to have a backup team. You know, people who want more or less the same like you, who want to find new pathways. So this is still, it's always pioneering work. Every project that is being born is a pioneering project. And somehow it's good to have other pioneers who can, you know, sometimes an email from somebody is enough telling you that this is wonderful, and, you know, and the hope comes back and the inspiration comes back. It doesn't need, you know, it doesn't need so much, but I just really want to encourage people to have some kind of a team around them to really facilitate that transition into the land where they become the person they really want to be, or maybe even the person they have been waiting to meet.
Yes, coming together and sharing and cooperating and supporting each other is really, it's very important. I mean, we are humans, so we are also kind of social beings. Wow, thank you very much, Amba, and for your, as always, wonderful insights, and your kind of clarity you have. I really appreciate that, and hopefully our listeners too.
Thank you.
Where can people get in touch with you, and what are your next offers you are gifting to the world and people can participate?
Well, in October, I will start a new Gaia, Being Shaped by Gaia training. And for people who are interested in this, I really recommend them to do a Rage Club, just that they are getting familiar with some distinctions for because it's quite a dynamic space, Being Shaped by Gaia, and it's good to have some introduction experiences of what it means to work consciously with anger and also with fear. So at the end of January, and I think it's 23 of January, I'll offer a new Rage Club. And then I offer a training of 6 weeks with the distinctions of shadow, being, and box. And well, there is a few introduction spaces for the Gaia work. So people who are interested, they can join the introduction spaces. And all trainings are on both websites, on futureshaping.org and on organischdenken.ch. So that's about for now what's happening in the next 2 months. Also, there's one more training I offer in September, which is called Get It to the Point. It's about sharp, clear communication to really distill your message. Yeah, it's all on the website. And
wonderful. Yeah, I'll add a link to the website so people know
great.
Where to find you and how to get in contact with you.
Thank you, Isabel.
Thank you very much, Amba. Do you have a kind of motto you say to yourself?
You mean something that guides me?
Yes.
Well, what really guides me is the craziness that is in me all day long. I cannot say differently, but it's a truth. Like, what really, most of the days I'm feeling very liquid, because I have no clue what is, you know, there's so much happening always, and my body is like, I don't know. My experience is the more I allow connection, the less concept I have. And it's that thing, that thing in me, which I cannot even name, that is just telling me, okay, let's go to the walks. Come on. Wow. And I just go. And it's that, okay, it's that, I think it's, maybe it's, you could name it, it's my instinctive and intuitive self that is just finding the way through the jungle, in which I, most of the day, I feel like I'm in a jungle. So it's that animal, intuitive animal in me that is just guiding me in a way. Because if I'm trying to think it, I'm losing track, because my thinking in a way doesn't get there. I'm losing track and I'm getting depressive because I'm cutting myself. So if I give space to that crazy thing in me, I think I'm quite happy with that.
Yes. Walking the fine line between, yes, clarity and madness.
Yes.
Really,
yes.
This dance of, yeah. Yes. This magical dance, actually, of being a human.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for another wonderful, wonderful, yeah, description and the experience of being here on Earth.
Well, thank you so much, Isabel,
yeah,
for asking these questions and for sharing space with me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing yourself and your being with the world. And yeah, you're really a gift. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Isabel.
And to all the listeners out there, may you open yourself up to being shaped by Gaia.
When you enjoyed this podcast and like to deepen your connection with yourself and nature, please take a look at my website, plumpedserpent.net. There, you'll find my new online course, Nature You Mini Discovery, a 3-day playful exploration of your inner and outer world. May you take the next step.